Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Skylar Jeremias, and I'm an assistant editor at CHE. Technology is everywhere in healthcare, and the list of ways that digital solutions can improve health outcomes and cut costs is endless. Technology is used to improve consumer engagement, identify patients who are at risk of events like a heart attack, and increasingly, to help different parts of the healthcare system to talk to each other. But when technology falls short of its promise, it can add costs and burdens to those who use it. The best example might be the electronic health record. Next-generation digital providers are helping to leverage technology to find the value long promised. Today, Databook welcomes Citius Tech, a next-generation specialist provider that works with payers, providers, medical technology, and life science markets. In an interview recorded earlier this year, Chief Healthcare Executive Associate Editorial Director Mary Caffrey spoke with two leaders of Citius Tech about meeting healthcare challenges with digital solutions. Her guests are Sridhar Turaga, the Senior Vice President for Digital Innovation and Data Science, and Shyam Manoj Karunakaran, who is Senior Vice President and Market Head for Health Plans. In June, after this interview was recorded, Citius Tech announced an acquisition of SDLC Partners of Pittsburgh, expanding its footprint in the payer solutions space. Mary, take it away.
Thank you again, both of you, for joining me today. To start out, I'll just have both guests say your full name and title.
Sure. First of all, Mary, thanks, and thanks for having us on the call today. My full name, Shyam Manoj Karunakaran. I'm a senior vice president at Citius Tech. I head the payer market, which is about a third of the overall business.
Yeah, my name is Sridhar Turaga. I'm senior vice president responsible for our data science, digital innovation, and consulting business at Citius Tech. Good talking to you today, Mary.
Okay, so I could ask each of you to tell us about Citius Tech and where your company fits into the provider payer landscape. Either one of you can start.
I can go first. So we do a few things. So the companies that we work with the leading payers, providers, and also the healthcare technology companies that serve these segments. And this list includes payviders, payers who own providers, providers who have health plan divisions, and so on. The focus areas for Citius Tech is across a few different areas. One is interop. So we've been working on moving healthcare data from one location to another for the last 15, 16 years. A lot of folks don't know about this about us. We've had the distinction of having the largest number of HL7 FHIR certified engineers worldwide for a while now. So that's one broad work stream. The second broad area is around once we've moved the data, what do you do with it? Curate the data, store it, marry payer data with provider data and additional data sources and so on and so forth. So that entire data infrastructure, setting up the platform is work that we do for a lot of our customers. The third area is around what we call as digital engineering, which is a technology-based engineering around delivering smartness, apps, etc. to the data that you've collected. And then finally, delivering analytics predominantly in two areas. One is around value-based contracts, provider performance management, and so on. And the second one around member experience, member analytics, and similar areas. So those are the five different areas that we focus on. And that's pretty much what we do in the payer provider space.
Yeah, I was going to just make a comment that we are one of the largest technology innovation companies that has a unique vantage into the healthcare space, because we actually touch upon medical devices, medical technology, payers, providers, and life sciences. So very few companies actually see healthcare data from all of these siloed lenses. And I think we are starting to make those connections in some interesting ways.
Okay. So we're a decade past the health the High Tech Act. And I hear when I talk to doctors in particular, but not just doctors, that there's sort of mixed reviews of the whole EHR platform. And that certainly EHRs have transformed healthcare deliveries in a lot of ways at the point of care, but there certainly have been some pluses and minuses. And I'd like to hear from each of you what you think the big wins of the EHR platforms have been, and what are some of the misses that you're looking to improve upon?
Yeah, I'll go first. I'll start with the misses because it's kind of interesting. I think two things probably all of this did not address, which is bring in a more patient-centric perspective. I think there's a lot of focus on data, a lot of focus on, you know, enabling the automation and electronic approach to healthcare, but the patient view, I think, was lacking to begin with. And I think we are kind of struggling with that. Second aspect is that healthcare has a fundamental problem of being very localized and not connected. So I think it was not designed for interoperability as much. I think those two are coming back to bite us. And of course, hindsight is 2020. Now with COVID, we're also wondering whether it was ever intended to support remote care. So that would be an unfair acquisition, but I think those three for sure are big misses. Sham has a deeper perspective on this topic, so I'll let him in.
No, I think all great points, Sridhar, but maybe what I'll do is I'll add a slightly different perspective. If you look at healthcare in US or rather in any industry, a lot of these things, we should look at it as building blocks. So today, for example, a lot of the organizations are focused on, and I'll give you a very simple use case example, right? A lot of the folks are focused on delivering automated prior authorizations, which would definitely improve patient experience. Now, delivering automated prior authorizations required clinical data sets to be exchanged, which required clinical data sets to be defined in the first place, which required those data sets to be captured in a standard and stored in a standard discrete manner. So I look at the High Tech Act as step one of a or a building block. And obviously there have been multiple regulations that has come forth beyond that. But prior to High Tech Act, a lot of the data entry was just that data entry in free text format. So today you have the option of building on top of the High Tech Act to deliver better care, better experience for providers, payers, as well as everybody involved in the healthcare ecosystem. So in isolation, yes, but as part of a journey, I think there has definitely been a lot of pluses due to the High Tech Act.
So Sham, to continue that, you mentioned automated prior authorizations. That's something we're hearing a lot about. What are some other ways that payers are using data differently than, say, 10 or even 5 years ago, that we need to get more out of the systems than we've been getting?
Sure. So payers have been working on healthcare data for a while now. If you look at the traditional ecosystem, payers have developed large healthcare data warehouses based on administrative data or claims data, as we call it. And they have been really good at mining that data, generating insights out of it. What we are seeing today is, and there are a convergence of a few different things here, right? There is a need to ingest clinical data, which is faster moving from the provider partners into the payer ecosystem. And this is being driven by regulatory initiatives such as value-based contracting, move away from fee-for-service and so on and so forth, as well as the focus on Medicare Advantage as the business segment over the next few years. So merging or marrying clinical data of a member to the existing data sets that payers already have is becoming an increasingly important area for most payers. Again, I'm sure I'm quoting someone, and I've heard this, the future is already here, but it's not evenly distributed. So there are organizations that are doing really well already in this space, while there are organizations that are catching up. And then the innovative organizations are adding additional data sets, some of which Sridhar referred to. for example, social determinants, device data, and other digital technology data being integrated so that payers can take informed decisions about their members. So I think all of this drives care management and quality management and so on within payers as we look at it today.
Okay. Shirani, do you want to add anything?
It's one, one thing I'm noticing a lot more is that the whole desire to do proactive care and care management cannot just depend on claims data because it in some ways may be too late to intervene. And we're starting to see application of information like CCDA to influence care decisions. But, there is need for using technologies like NLP to extract insights out of the clinical notes, the unstructured part. So big area we're focused on is how to extract information out of the unstructured parts and then marry that with the structured part and just get that couple of days of head start in intervening on the care journey. So that's kind of, I think,
so let's talk about the pandemic, because obviously the pandemic has changed everything or sped up things that maybe would have taken many more years to get to. Talk about a couple of things that you've been working on that maybe you're getting to faster because of the pandemic, or things that the pandemic has revealed that you wouldn't have gotten to anytime soon, but that now that you're working on at Citius Tech.
So, the pandemic has kind of changed things and not changed things in a way. So when the pandemic hit, I think in some ways, everybody thought magically remote care will take off, and it did, but it didn't sustain. It also just kind of, died away naturally. So in some ways, I think it made people realize that it is possible, but it is not sustainable unless you redesign patient care journey. So what we are seeing a lot of our customers, particularly provider customers, think about the fact that how do you intervene and put that nudges and redesign the system to sustain remote care, because they have seen that it works, but they've also seen it slip away in some ways, right? So I think that's probably been a big revelation, that they've seen the promise and the promise went away. The second aspect is, the one thing that's permanently changed is the clinical trials that I mentioned. I mean, if you look at the success of the COVID vaccine itself, it wouldn't have been possible because of remote trials. So a lot of the work around adherence, remote monitoring for trials, I think, is here to stay. And I think that has shifted significantly. And because we work with a lot of medical technology companies, we get to see what they're putting in place to enable that. I think the effect of that will be felt a couple of years down the line. But I think the medical technology companies have moved in a big way, faster than people realize.
What about, how much does reimbursement drive everything?
Yeah, so I think it's an easy question. Reimbursement almost always drives a lot of things, because I think at the end of the day, even if I look at something like a Medicare Advantage space, right, a lot of the change is because of reimbursements and contracts being driven based off of what is happening in the industry today. So that has definitely added on to the change trigger, so to say. So reimbursements from STARS programs, reimbursements from quality programs and so on and so forth, it definitely drives a lot of change in the healthcare industry. And that has been happening traditionally as well. So this could come through incentives such as the ones that were laid out during the HITECH Act. But overall, the contracts between payers, providers, and regulatory organizations essentially drives the change within the healthcare industry.
Here's an interesting information, Mary. So we participated in a survey with some of our provider customers, and the survey was about what obstacles do patients and physicians perceive for adopting remote care. And the top of the list was perception of the quality. Second was clarity on reimbursement. So I think one is the change in reimbursement policy, but the other is how does somebody understand it and be able to make a decision on reimbursement. I think clarity on reimbursement stood at number two.
What barriers or impediments do you find, say, at the health system level to any of the innovations that you're trying to work on?
So let me take the first stab at that. So I think, like I said, there is a lot of unevenly distributed innovation that is happening. If I take the example of something as simple as Interop, a lot of the challenge with Interop is not necessarily technical in nature, right? If it was just a technology problem, then I think it would have been solved many, many years back. But I think there is a fundamental challenge in traditionally how healthcare data has been viewed by some of the organizations, because there has been a reluctance of sharing of data between organizations and so on and so forth, for whatever reasons, good or bad. So that continues to be a challenge within the healthcare ecosystem. And there are partnerships that are emerging between payers, providers, groups of organizations, and so on and so forth. It is important for the healthcare industry to continue to fructify some of those partnerships so that there is a free exchange of data, information about a member. Because at the end of the day, again, I go back to my building block statement. Once we facilitate that free exchange of information, then there is enough engineering technology capabilities in this world to build a layer of smartness, build a layer of analytics, build a layer of experience, engagement, and so on and so forth, which will all just allow the healthcare industry to evolve. So I think that is something that the industry continuously is today focused on, and also needs to be focused on for the next few years to come as well.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think there should be a lot of non-healthcare people in healthcare, because I think some of the struggles that, and I'm from outside healthcare, so I live this every day, but I think some of the struggles that healthcare organizations are going through are in some ways not that unique. There is a lot healthcare organizations can learn from other consumer-focused industries. Obviously, there are differences, but I think there is an unnecessary desire to reinvent the wheel of the journey, at least, I would say.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, @ChiefHealthExec, and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm your host, Skylar Jeremias.